Cool. Well, I'm excited to be speaking today about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put this back, okay, Chris, and then you can put it back. Don't yell at me because I tend to be moving a lot. So, but it's okay. But it's just cool to be able to share the Word of God, to just share what He's put on my heart. And the cool thing about it is when I do that, I learn a lot too. And it's like, oh, okay, I should be doing putting this into practice too. So, so with that, we'll go ahead and start by praying, and then we'll jump right into it. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Father, for setting up this talk that you put on my heart from start to finish, just from our prayer time this morning to interacting with people, to the worship, to the word, of interpretation, of speaking in tongues and interpretations, and now this, Lord Jesus. I know that your spirit's here. I know your spirit's working. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to open our hearts and our minds to receive what you've put on my heart, but I ask that you help me to relay it in the right way. Help me, Lord Jesus, to speak your words and only what you speak to me, Lord. So I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we start, this last couple of weeks has been a really busy week, right? With Easter, whatnot. We got to celebrate Palm Sunday. The palms are still up here. Oh, at least one is. We used to have another one. Palm Sunday, where we got Palm Sunday, where Jesus went into Jerusalem. People thought he was going to be the coming king, so they were celebrating him and just shouting out his praise of the coming king. Later, we celebrated Good Friday, where Jesus got crucified and died for our sins. Why do they call it good? Bad for him, good for us, because we get to live. We get to come into the presence of God because he paid for our sins. He took our iniquities and he said, you know what? You're valuable enough. I want to die for you. I want you to be a part of my family. So we don't have to do anything special. All we have to do is believe in Christ, that he's our Lord and Savior. And guess what? We become part of his family. Last week, we got to celebrate Resurrection Day. Okay, thank you. Over here. All right, this side's louder, so that's good. So Resurrection Sunday, right? Where we got to hear testimonies from Nikki and from Mike of how God changed their lives, how God met them where they were. And no matter how despair the time item looked, God was still working. God was still setting up things. And then we saw that afterwards where a proclamation of faith was made in public by what? The baptism. They got to baptize and come out as new creations. And so this is still here. For those of you that don't know, Pastor Scott told me that there's one person that, I don't know if they got cold feet or whatever, but they said, hey, I still want to get baptized. So this is up for them. So I'm going to put it out there. If you're interested in getting baptized and you got cold feet last Sunday, next week's the week. All right. So if you're still wondering, you can pick one of these up. You can read a little bit about it. Talk to Pastor Scott. Fill out the paper saying, you know what? I want in. I want to make a proclamation to everybody saying that I am a child of God now. Amen. So with all of that is that God makes us into a new creation. God makes us into new creatures, if you want to call it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, just to let you guys know, we're going to be going through a lot of scripture. So get your fingers ready. Take out your Bibles, your cell phones, your tablets. What else do the kids have nowadays? I don't know. But anyways, so we're going to go through a lot. If you're taking notes, please take notes so you can follow up later. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Yay! The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Amen? All of us are new creatures, new creations. Because of what God did on that cross, we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate. We get to see a new side of ourselves that maybe we didn't see before. So with all that, so we got saved, we got baptized. Then what? What happens next? What happens next? So I'm going to ask you guys a question. You don't have to ask, you don't have to answer right now, but it's, do you truly know who God is? Do you truly know who God is? Strange question to ask in a church, right? Well, I come to church, so obviously I have some kind of knowledge of who God is. But do you truly know who he is? So if we were to go downtown Lebanon and to get our favorite drink, right, if it's coffee or whatever, a tea maybe or whatnot, and we're having a conversation, I go, you know what, tell me a little bit about God. Who's God to you? I'm sure that you're going to say, you know what, he's amazing. He's the creator. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. He's just amazing. It's like, cool. Now tell me a little bit about God the Son. Man, Jesus, he died on the cross. He took my iniquities. I'm a new person. He paid for my sins. He's amazing. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you just keep going. You're just in love with God and Jesus. And then if I go, all right, now tell me about God the Holy Spirit. That's where there's maybe a little bit more of a hesitation. Maybe that's a topic that kind of causes you to go cringe a little bit. Well, you know, I don't believe in ghosts, right? The Holy Spirit, what is that? I don't want to get into that. And it makes people a little bit struggle with a little bit of even the concept of who the Holy Spirit is.
He is the great I am.
He is the great I am. That's the Father, right? And so I found this quote from Barna in his research. It says that nearly 60% of Americans who regularly attend Christian church see that there's no such thing as the Holy Spirit. They say that the Holy Spirit is just a symbol of God's power, presence, and purity. Think about that. These right here are not Christian, are not Christmas and Easter Christians. These are not people who come just to celebrate Jesus' birth and his resurrection and going, oh, you know what? I'm not sure about the Holy Spirit. These are people who actually come to church. These are people who are actually sitting in chairs and pews like you are today. They understand who God the Father is. They understand who God the Son is. And they understand who the Holy Bible is. Right? Surely this is part of the Trinity, but it's not the Holy Bible, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God, it's the Trinity that drives us to him. It's the Trinity that brings it all together. And people are missing that. People aren't understanding who the Spirit is. And sometimes they go in, so actually the last 3 weeks I've been kind of thinking about this, and I'm able to meet with a couple people that, in passing, teachers, administrators, and I kind of ask, hey, so what do you think about the Holy Spirit? Just to put this, I had already found this quote before, so I kind of wanted to ask that question. And some of the things that they said was, yeah, our church believes in the Holy Spirit, but we don't practice it. Yes, our church believes in the Holy Spirit, but it's not really taught on. Yes, our church believes in the Holy Spirit, but we don't practice it. It's like a taboo. Think about that. These are church-going people saying, you know what? Church, the Holy Spirit really isn't shared that much in my church. Why is that? Well, because the topic of the Holy Spirit, when people says the Holy Spirit, the first thing, like we saw this morning, is, oh, it's about speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit, it's about making people feel weird and doing these things. Why do they believe that? Maybe because of how they were brought up. Maybe because what they've seen on TV. Or maybe they visited a church where that happened and people were being slain in the spirit or whatnot. And then people start shutting themselves off going, you know what? I don't want that. That scares me. That makes me feel uncomfortable. That makes me feel like a little bit queasy. And maybe you're feeling that a little bit today. Because without getting together and talking about what I'm going to be speaking on, worship was amazing, right on, about the Holy Spirit of who he is and having victory in him. And then with Pat coming up, giving the message in tongues and interpretation, right? That's supposed to be for the benefit of the church. It's not just for her to keep on saying, oh, this is what God gave me. We speak in tongues is partaking, showing it or giving it to everybody else and saying, you know what, this is what God has for us. We have victory. We don't have to feel defeated. We don't have to go on and think that we have to do it on our own. But yet a lot of people are taken back by that. Why? Because a lot of them come to church and they don't believe the person of the Holy Spirit. They think it's a thing or an it, a power or a present. So I just want to ask you right now, don't tune me out. You might be feeling uncomfortable. You might be feeling going, okay, here we go, right? Two things that drive people away from church is tithes and the Holy Spirit, right? Please, don't tune out yet. Because what I want to do today, the best I can, is I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. I want to introduce you to my friend that changed my life from the very beginning. Whoa, that was way weird. Okay, so I thought he shot at me. But anyways, but I'll start off by saying this. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a he. He's a person, not an object. Amen. He's part of the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we get caught on that going, well, what does that really mean? How do I even put that? And our minds are so limited that we don't even understand many times. So I'm just going to use this simple example, and hopefully this will relay a little bit of how the Holy or how the Trinity works. But it's a simple explanation of water. Water exists in the form of liquid, ice, and vapor, while still remaining H2O. Okay? So it's three things in one. So water, it's three things in one, and that's God the Father. It interacts, it's the same thing, but yet presents itself in different ways. Amen? Are you guys catching that? So is that too hard? Yeah, you can put pictures up there, which I found was kind of cool, but anyways. It's understanding the Holy Spirit that he's just an amazing person. And he does amazing things in our lives once we start getting to know him. Once we discover who God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we get to grow. And we only grow through what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. But then we kind of wonder, well, the Holy Spirit is only in the New Testament, right? But in reality, the Holy Spirit has been there from the very beginning. Amen? In Genesis 1:2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covers the depths of the waters. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the surface of the waters." You see, even from the very beginning, he was there with the Father doing all creation. He was walking hand in hand going, "Father, what do you want me to do? Breathe life into that. Okay, what do you want me to do? Create this. All right, I'll do it." And then later on, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is there with Jesus. As Jesus was walking the earth, the Holy Spirit was there with him, step by step. Isn't that awesome? So he's there, he's present, and he's walking and he's moving. I totally messed up my notes, so I'm just going to forget that. So, but it's how the Holy Spirit works, right? And what I want to do today is I want to give you an example of how the Holy Spirit continues to work, not just back then, but how he's working today, how he works now. And it goes beyond just the power of the Holy Spirit and the tongues and the miracles and all those things. But to realize that God is there every day, everywhere you go. And not in a weird way either. So the first step of how God works is the Holy Spirit gives us new life. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the what? The breath of life into the man's nostrils." So if you kind of figured it out, that's where I got my message to, the title of my message, the breath of life. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostril, and the man became what? A living person. Right? So the word here is the Hebrew word as ruach. So say ruach. So you have to use your whole lungs and breath as ruach. Right? It can just flow out of you. So now you're speaking Hebrew. And what that means is breath, a spirit, breath, or wind. The spirit that breathes life into a person, that he revives and he regenerates. See, God from the very beginning, he breathed the breath into humanity. He formed man, but man was lifeless. He was just there like clay. But it wasn't until he said, I'm going to breathe life into you, into Adam's nostrils. And suddenly what happens? Adam becomes a living person. It gives them life. It gives them purpose. And he goes, that's what I want. And Adam's life transforms. That breath fills up his lungs and he becomes a person. And that's what we start the human race out of. Isn't that cool? Because think about it. That same breath is the same breath you're breathing right now today. Where you're sitting at is that same breath that gave breath to Adam. Breathe it in. That ruach, that breath of life. We exhale. You kind of feel a calmness, right? You kind of feel a anxiety kind of leave you a little bit. Why? Because that's breath of life, sitting where you're at right now. That's a spirit of God being deposited inside of you. The ruach. But then it goes on even beyond that. In the New Testament, Jesus is walking, and he's been crucified. He laid down into a cave, and then he raises again, and he becomes the resurrecting king. In John 2:19-22, it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. So they were hiding. There was a lot going on, a lot of commotion. And they were going, you know what? We don't know what to do next. We need to gather. We need to come together and figure out what we're going to do. Because the Jewish leaders were just after them. There's a lot of chaos happening. And it says, suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy and saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then he what? He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So right here, I imagine that the disciples, knowing how they are and knowing how they acted, they're probably freaking out right now. They were already scared. They were already hiding. They were already confused. They didn't know what this whole thing, hey, what happened to Jesus? Was this really supposed to happen? And maybe the Holy Spirit a little bit started showing them what was going on. And then, boom, there's Jesus standing behind the locked doors with them. Tell me that you wouldn't be freaked out. I would be freaked out. I'd be like, whoa, what's this, a friendly ghost? No, that was the Holy Ghost. That was Jesus, right? Coming inside and saying, you know what? It's me. Look at my wounds. Look at the scars. Peace be with you. And as soon as he says that, the disciples, it clicks inside of going, you know what? These are words that we have heard before. These are probably words that Jesus had spoken to them before. Peace be with you. And peace comes over them and washes over them. And then Jesus kind of reminds them, say, you know what, you guys? You're not supposed to be in this locked room. You're not supposed to be in this locked place. I died to give you freedom. I died to give you power. I died so you could go out and share the good news to the end of the world. Amen? So he's meeting them. He's meeting their need. He's going, you know what? I know you guys are scared. I know that you guys are your mind's running wild. But I made you, I put you in this at this time for a purpose. And that's to carry out the word, the good news. And then Jesus does the amazing thing. He breathes breath into them. He deposits it, the Holy Spirit in them, so that way it gives them courage. It gives them the ability to go out and to share the good news. Even though there's a lot of stuff going on. He wanted them to go out and prepare the way for something better to come, which is Pentecost. That's when people got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and God gave them power through the Holy Spirit so that they could do miraculous things. But as Jesus does that, I don't think that he gave them the full run of the Holy Spirit. I think it was just a taste, a nudge of going, you know what, you guys? Here's the Ruach. This is just an example of the Holy Spirit and what's to come. Amen? That should get us excited, because this is before it even came on in Acts, where it come, fell on the people and they started doing miraculous things. This was for the disciples. This is what Jesus did for them, because he saw their need. And he saw that they needed something. And he breathes the breath of life. Man, that's awesome. That is so cool. Okay, I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit does wonderful work in you. I remember when I was growing up, I was physically alive, but I was spiritually dead. I was dead because I was trying to pursue the things of the world. I was trying to satisfy my lusts with things of the world, and I wasn't happy, and I struggled through a lot of things. But yet, when I joined the Air Force, in this little town called Croughton in England, I actually got saved. And that's where God met me. And he said, you know what? I want you. And I came forward and I gave my life to God. And as I was standing there, I just felt the peace of God to come over me. It was like the weight was taken off of me. It was like a peace, a joy, a tranquility. Right when I accepted Jesus into as my Lord and Savior. And at that time, when I was standing on that altar, just praising God and saying, God, I give my life to you, he breathed that breath of life. And in that very moment is when he started changing my life. It was at that very moment where I even started seeing differences in myself of how I thought about people and how I treated people. And most of all, how I saw myself. I wasn't broken. I wasn't broken. That's when the Holy Spirit came up on me. Thank you. See, we always think that the Holy Spirit comes on you when you come in and you start speaking in tongues and all that. No. That's wrong theology. It happens right at the very beginning. It happens right when you come forward and say, Lord, I give you my life. That's when the Holy Spirit starts. That's when the Holy Spirit kicks in and says, all right, let's make you into what? The image of my Father who is in heaven. So we go from that to point two. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. In Romans 8, 10, 11 says, and Christ lives in where? You, within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? Lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give your mortal bodies the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit living within you. And in John 14, 16 through 17 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The Word cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Amen? So what an interesting there too, is, so this is not in my notes, but as I was reading this, kind of brings me to Psalms 14, I believe it is, where it actually talks about this. So it's not on my, it's not on the overheads, but it's in Psalms 14. It says, only the foolish say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. See, when we don't have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we don't see what the true word of God says. We don't see what it's saying. We don't see how it's acting. We don't see how it's changing us. And many people see that as foolishness. This is the cool thing. When Jesus walked on earth, he was dependent on the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was taught by the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do his first miracle until when? He was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he only spoke what the Holy Spirit put on his heart. Amen. Amen? So if Jesus was that dependent on the Holy Spirit, shouldn't we be? Shouldn't we be walking with the desire to know him better? Shouldn't we be just walking this earth right now the same as Jesus did, being dependent, being taught, doing miracles, being empowered, speaking only when the Holy Spirit puts on our hearts? That's what he does. And if Jesus does that, I want to do it. If Jesus does that, I want to do it. I want to emulate him. And that same spirit that was in Jesus, guess what? Just like the Ruach, that same spirit is in us today. That is the same spirit that God breathed on the disciples, that he breathed and gave to everybody in Acts 2. That is the same spirit working today. All right, at least there's one amen, because you know what? Maybe I'm a little bit too excited about this because I see the transformation in my own life. Maybe you're just like thinking about it. You're like in deep thought because of what's being said. Cool, stay there, listen, because guess what? It's through the Holy Spirit that we get to face our challenges. We get to face our battles. It's through the Holy Spirit that we get to move forward. And when we're feeling anxious, depressed, hopeless, or whatever that may be, it's the Holy Spirit that we can lean on. And say, Lord, help me carry this burden. Help me. Amen. Right there. You want to preach for me? You got it. You got it, right? Is that who God is? That's who the Holy Spirit is. The things that you deal with, sometimes we try to control it ourselves. I know I did for 20 some odd years. I thought I could do it on my own because guess what? I'm rich. Only by name. Right? At least that was a good one. But I needed more. I needed more. A name doesn't buy you everything, right? I needed the Holy Spirit. I needed him to work in me. And it wasn't until I did that, until I came forward, where I realized and I saw the Holy Spirit working and directing me. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know what? And thank you for the one amen. If anybody wants to join, that'd be awesome. Amen. 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 Point number three, Holy Spirit gives us direction. In John 14, 26 says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything I have told you. Again, it's only through the Holy Spirit that I get to even understand what this is. You get that? It's only through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's living in me and he's active, it's only because of him that I'm able to understand what the word says. I get to understand what the meanings are. It's only through the Holy Spirit that he deciphers, he decodes what is written inside and reveals what it means to me personally. Do you know that when you read the Bible, you're going to get something out of it more than what I do? Totally different. Why? That's the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit knows what you need at that very moment. We could read the exact same thing and I could go, oh man, praise God. He's, you know, give him all the glory. And then the other person going, you know what? God is doing something in me. I don't understand that, but something just clicked. It's the Holy Spirit, all glory to the Father, who reveals these things to us. This is good. This is good. This is good. So like I said, I was I was getting prepared for this. This really blessed my little heart. And I think it grew three sizes too big. But the Bible, as we get to understand it, but like we read in Psalms 14, is a lot of people see it as foolishness. When I used to do youth ministry, I had a kid say, you know what? It's kind of like reading a Winnie the Pooh book. I don't believe it. And that broke my heart. Unfortunately, there's not a happy ending. He left church, and I don't know what happened to him. But anyways, hopefully a seed was planted there. So why did I say that? I have no idea. But just to know that people aren't going to get it right away. Right? They only get it when they receive, truly receive who God is. The 18th century evangelist George Mueller had this quote. He said, "The Word of God is our only standard, and the Holy Spirit is our only teacher." Amen. Okay, so let's read that again. The Word of God is our only standard. So if you see somebody here that is not preaching the Word of God out of the Bible, that's the wrong standard. Okay? If you see a preacher up here that only tells you stories to make you feel good, that's the wrong teacher. You should be able to stand there and go, okay, where does that line up with Scripture? This is our only standard. This is what we should be standing on. And how do we know that? It's only by taking notes. It's only by reading along. And guess what? I could put up the wrong scripture up here and most people wouldn't even know it. Because most people don't bring their Bibles. Most people don't look at verses. They trust the preacher who's up here. And that's why every time I speak, I always tell you guys, prove me wrong. Check it. Because I could screw up. I can make mistakes. So don't be deceived. Where did that come from? I have no idea. But whoever that was for, that was free, okay? So now back to my message, is the Holy Spirit. He should be our only teacher. When we're going through struggles, when we're having issues with a relationships or at work or whatever that may be, it should be through the Holy Spirit glasses that we're making our decisions. Not out of our emotions, not out of our experiences, not out of all these things, but what does the Spirit say? What is that Spirit that God breathed into me is telling me to do? Where is He leading me at? And we'll find our answers. The next one is the Holy Spirit produces fruit. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these." What are these? These are character qualities that reflect the nature of God. It shows us who God is as a person. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand and connect with God. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? This is what it means to be a person full of faith and a person who is mirroring who God is. They're going to have love. They're going to have joy. They're going to have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, is it okay to just have one? You know, I have love, right? But I'm a jerk to somebody. That doesn't reflect God very well, right? If I have love, but I'm faithless, no, that's not going to work, right? Or maybe I have love, but yet I have no self-control. I see, they all work together. They all work together. And as soon as the Holy Spirit comes in, it starts screwing up our lives. Because we get comfortable with our lives, right? It's like, no, I like being a jerk, right? But yet the Holy Spirit comes in, He's like, no, we're not going to do that. You're going to be showing kindness and empathy. You're going to care about people. I only say that because I was a jerk. And I saw how God changed me. So what do all these mean? How does God use this? So, you know, what is joy and what does that look like? So hopefully you guys can see it in the next slide, but I'm just going to go through it really quick. Is a fruit of love. This is often seen as a foundational virtue and the greatest of all. It refers to selfless, sacrificial love for others and is as demonstrated by Jesus. It's a sacrificial, it's a love that's not going to keep points. I love you because of who you're in the image that you're made out of who you are. Fruit of joy. It's a Christian joy, not dependent on circumstances, but it's a deep sense of contentment and gladness that comes from our relationship with God. Yeah, praise God. Fruit of peace refers to the inner peace, the reconciliation with God and living in harmony with others. Fruit of patience involves being slow to anger and showing restraint and patience towards others, even when in challenging situations. How hard is that? You know, I keep praying for patience all the time. Fruit of kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, considerate towards others, often putting the needs of others above their own. Do you guys do that? Okay, don't answer. The fruit of goodness, it signifies moral excellence, integrity, and character and actions. It's doing the right thing when nobody's looking. Something that we don't have a lot nowadays. Fruit of faithfulness, it's a virtue that relates to loyalty, reliability, and trustworthiness in one's commitments and relationships. It's being faithful. It's always being there. Just like God's always there for you and I. The fruit of gentleness involves having a gentle and humble spirit, showing humility and compassion towards others. And then the last one, fruit of self-control. The ability to exercise discipline and restraint over one's desire and behaviors, particularly in the face of temptation. So if you need to take a snapshot, go ahead. Maybe talk about it with your spouse or friends or kids or whatever. What does that look like in my own life? Where am I coming short? What do I need to work on? Because I tell you what, right now, our society doesn't teach this. Love is conditional. Joy is what other people do for me or what I get out of it. Peace. I don't know, is that even in the vocabulary nowadays? I'm not sure. Patience? No, I don't think so either. Kindness? Man, you get somebody behind social media, and guess what? They can say anything they want. There's no kindness on there. Goodness? What does goodness really look like nowadays? Faithfulness? Just please yourself. You don't have to be faithful to anybody else. Gentleness? Definitely don't see that. Self-control? You see what I'm getting at?
I needed this today.
Thank you. So did I, sister. Yeah. I needed this, right? As I had to self-reflect and even being a Christian for a few years and being able to speak and being able to do youth ministry and all that, I still have to look at it and as I was putting this together going, you know, God, there's some things I need to work on. Holy Spirit, would you redefine, refocus some of these areas? And guess what? So we talked about the Holy Spirit. This is the foundational stuff. We didn't even get into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which you already experienced today. We didn't even get to the administration of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of for the church and how we serve and whatnot. This is the foundational stuff right here. Amen. And guess what? This is what everybody here in here has. But yet we fall short in really experiencing this whole thing. We fall short in really understanding who God, the Holy Spirit, is. And maybe there's going to be a part two. I don't know. And we'll get into the gifts then. But you know what? I just felt in my heart that this is what we needed to hear. This is what I needed to hear. I felt in my heart that God was saying, you know what? There's a lot of seasoned Christians. There's a lot of new Christians in our church, in our community that need to hear this. And like I said, I talked to a couple people at work, and sure enough, it blew my mind that someone were saying, yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit really isn't talked about. So I ask you, what do you talk about? How do you talk about the Holy Spirit? Do you even talk about the Holy Spirit?
I can't do anything without him.
That's right. You know, we kind of say, oh yeah, God the Father, God the Son is what they do, but yet the Holy Spirit, we kind of push them to the side. But guess what? That Holy Spirit is the one that changes our every being.
Yes.
So if the worship team want to come up, I'm going to be closing. So I started off with a question. Do you truly know who God is? Do you truly know the whole Trinity of who God is in your life? We talked about how he works. It's the foundational way that he works in us. So I just want to encourage you to examine and ask yourself, are these fruits evident in my walk with Christ? Are these fruits on display? What are they reflecting? Are they reflecting somebody who's truly passionate about God? Or are we still holding on to some of those things that we don't want to let go of? Amen? Amen. So, Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the breath of life. I thank you for the Ruach. Lord Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for touching my life. From the very beginning, you were there. From the very, very beginning, you had your hand upon me. From the very beginning, I felt you move. I felt you come upon me and change my life. So, Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that encourages me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is my counselor, my advocate, my comforter. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who is my teacher. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who never speaks about himself, but always reflects the goodness of God, always reflects Jesus on the cross. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is always sharing how much God loves me for who I am. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus.